4. Oh, AMA part 4. Oh, I can't believe there's more. Oh, man, attention whore. Oh, AMA part 4.
Okay, so this is the last part of my AMA. Oh man, I'm 3/4 of the way there. We got a little over 50 questions left. So yeah, here's the first user we're gonna hear from.
I know you wish you could score with the hottie next door.
So the hottie next door asks, how did you develop this musical talent? Were you actually in an a cappella group? Is Pitch Perfect a favorite movie for you, or is that just me? That's like 3 questions. How did I develop musical talent? I don't know. Practice, I think. My mom told me that I've always been doing this with like the thing where I could just listen to a song and like play it. I like talked to her about it like a couple weeks ago, and she was like, "Oh yeah, you've always been doing it, like ever since you were a little kid." I specifically remember like my quote unquote like awakening, I guess, as like the summer of 2005. I went to an orchestra camp and I met one of my closest friends there, and we just started to play video game music on. He's a violinist and I'm a cellist, and it just started happening, and I was like, wow, I can play all of the songs in Super Smash Bros. Melee, and that was like something I'd never thought about before. So I think of that those 2 weeks as sort of when I figured it out, and then I started to just practice it a lot. And then like when I was in high school, every day, like in my senior year, I started to hang out with like chorus kids, and I joined the choir in my senior year, because I was an orchestra kid up until then. I still did orchestra, but I started to hang out with those choir kids in their choir room, like during lunch and like during my study halls, and I would just play the piano for like an hour a day, like every single day, and I would just have these kids like around me being like, "Oh, can you play this song?" And I would just try to play it, and that's just kind of how like I. It was like a very practice every single day kind of thing. I was actually in an a cappella group, and Pitch Perfect is, I like it. I had a really good time watching it. Anna Kendrick's great. I liked the, I really liked the end with the treble makers. When they sing, I Got the Magic. I would really like to do a backstage cover of that sometime. I keep pushing it off. I really need to just sit down and bang it out. It's just, I hate the summer, man. It's just so hot. I don't want to record because I have to turn off my air conditioning. So maybe once the weather cools down, I'll bust out a cover of that Pitch Perfect thing. Yeah. Number 151, favorite genre to sing? Probably rock. Because it's like my favorite to listen to, but I'm also terrible at it because I don't really sing high. Number 152, what is your favorite breakfast cereal and why? All right, my favorite breakfast cereal is different from the cereal that I eat. I eat Special K with like the chocolate, but my favorite is Cinnamon Toast Crunch because it's a taste you can see. No, because it doesn't turn terrible when it gets soggy. I don't like soggy cereal, but Cinnamon Toast Crunch is like still like pretty decent after it's been in milk for a while. And also the milk after you finish the cereal is great because all of the sugar like falls off of the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and like the cinnamon, oh, I really like the milk after Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Also shout outs to like oatmeal. Actually, I'm a big fan of oatmeal. When I was a kid, I always used to like crumble up bacon and put it in oatmeal, because I like salty things. I'm not really like a huge sweets person usually, so like the saltiness of the bacon would sort of like soak its way in the oatmeal, and I really liked that when I was a kid. I should do that again sometime. Number 153, GWA audio preferences. This is a would you rather in 4 parts. First one, would you rather request fill or spark your own inspiration for a new recording? I think my own inspiration, probably just because I have more like control and like I have more of an idea of what I'm doing, where and I think I'm Okay, so like the inspiration thing, this is something important that I probably should have noted during the tips section back in like part two or three of the AMA, but one thing, when I like try really hard on an audio, specifically one thing I think about is what feeling do I want to invoke in the listener, right? Like, for example, when I started thinking about it, I think was when I started to write those things down was the blindfold audio, where I was like, specifically, like on the physical level, this is a blindfold audio, but on the emotional level, I want this audio to be about like feeling vulnerable. So I think when I come up with an idea, it's more like I have more of a clear vision of what that feeling I want to convey is. Where with like a request is like, the requester probably knows a lot better than I do what feeling they want to hear, I guess. And then like sometimes a request will just click with me. Like probably like the two requests that have resonated the most with me was a really, really old request that Tark put up about like the woman listener like wearing a suit and some other stuff happening. And I had a really good time making that audio. And then the other one is probably Playful Little Ones, the We Have No Choice audio. Those are two that I like immediately, I was like, yes, I have this too. So, those are two requests that I had a really good time filling. This is the same question. Okay. Would you rather write a script or perform a script? Performing is way easier. Script writing is a lot of work. Again, this is something I've talked about, but script writers on GWA are hugely important, and I don't think they get nearly enough recognition for what they do. So if you are someone who performed a script, always thank your script author. If you listened to an audio and somebody wrote this script, please give the script writer like some form of recognition. Go upvote their post, leave them a comment, or in your comment on the audio, say what you liked about the script and tag them. Just like, we need GWA, like, really needs script writers, so we need to like show them that we appreciate what they do. Next, would you rather improv or scripted? I think I would rather do scripted audios, just because there's less, I'm like not on my toes as much, but like again, like, so, like, in a perfect world, I would just, like, have an infinite amount of scripts to read. My improv process is basically just, like, script writing, but in my head. To be completely honest with you, actually, no, I'll talk about this in another question, I think. I had to go through and outline a bunch of these things, because I don't want to do repeats. So I'll talk about my improv process later, but, yeah, script writing, or script reading, for me, so much easier than improv. But improv as a guy, I think, on GWA is significantly more sustainable, just because there's a much lower limit on how many guy scripts get posted. And then, like, of course, like the quality of them up and down, whatever, but I thought about really early on, these are things I thought about like within my first like month or two of posting, where I was like, at some point I'm going to need to learn to improv. So it was something I sort of like eased myself into, I think. But I thought about it. I was like, if I want to be like a long lasting person on this subreddit, I have to learn how to like come up with stuff on the spot, because like it's just not efficient to write a script for every single audio I do. Like some of them I have to do because they require like a pretty strict outline, like a story or whatever. Some of them come to me naturally, like the Why Don't You Love Me script came to me really naturally. Some of them, like some of the ideas, I'm just like, oh, I'm really turned on by this idea, and I'll just like bust out a script. But the next one. Oh, this is the last would you rather. Would you rather record and upload posts daily for a month with no listening, or listen as often as you like for a month, but with no posting or commenting. Okay, there are loopholes to this. So the loophole to posting... Oh, wait. Okay, there's not really a loophole to the posting daily. I'm assuming I don't just have audios on hand to post. I actually have to go through the act of making them. Otherwise, yeah, I'll post daily for a month. But I don't think I would want to post daily for a month. A, people get sick of me. B, my audio quality would plummet if I posted every day, because I have enough trouble keeping up with two posts a week. I have a very specific reason I'm doing what I'm doing, and it's not going to last forever. There's a specific goal I'm trying to reach at a certain time in terms of audio quantity, just for like a silly personal reason. It's nothing important, but after that, I really think I'm going to pull back, because I'm doing grad school and I have work. So at some point I'm going to pull back to like a one or two a week, which is, I'll talk about this later again. I think somebody else asked a question about it. But yeah, so I would definitely choose to just listen without posting or commenting. The loophole to that is I could write all my comments in a paste bin, and then I could come back after the month, and A, I could leave like a billion comments. B, I could reap that sweet, sweet I'm back post for karma, because those always seem to do really well. Like whenever a user like leaves for a while and then like they post again, like I think obviously like the quality of their audio has something to do with it too. But like when a user that a lot of people listen to like comes back from a hiatus, I feel like that's like always a pretty good boost. Number 154, story time. How nervous were you about your first audio post, and how did you psych yourself up? Did you just sit and wait for a comment afterwards, or did you just move on to other things? I was extremely nervous. I still get nervous about audios. Probably all of them. I deal with it by distracting myself. But I think for my first audio post, I probably psyched myself up by keeping my expectations like really low. I didn't want to, I obviously I wasn't going to like show up and just immediately become popular, right? So I was just like, you know, this is just the thing I'm doing. It's fine if I don't get upvoted. We'll just see what happens. And then, yeah, afterwards I neurotically refreshed the audio, probably. Like, I just sat there and refreshed it. Like, oh my God, are people going to listen to me? Like, do people hate it? Like, I don't know. So the way I deal with it now is I post, and then I'll like leave work. So like A, the commute on my bike helps, because that's like a solid half hour where I'm not refreshing it. And then I like to go to the gym or something, or like play a game, or I'll go on TeamSpeak and hang out with people. I'll just like go do something. And that's kind of how I get over like the post jitters. So yeah. Next user.
For the next question, it's time to meet a user who usually goes by Mina. Staying up late makes you feel alive, and it's only AM 145.
Alright, only AM 145 wants to know. The only question I have is, how can you be so natural without script? I was surprised when some audios take almost 30 minutes and there were even improv. And I should have thought about my username. I made it because it was 1:45 a.m. when I just signed up. Hope you put my real name Mina someday. And it's there in the song. All right, so this is a question about my improv process that I talked about during the last section. My improv process... So there's kind of like two important things that you need to know about my improv process. Because I'm honestly a bit of a fraud. I know of some people who do their audios completely in one shot. Like, I've talked to people before. I don't know if they still do it, but I've talked to like a user who makes phenomenal audios, and is really well recognized for it, who, like, used to, like, if they messed up during an audio, they would have to start over. And I would be like, oh my god, that's crazy. Like, so I use Reaper. Reaper is free. It makes it extremely, extremely easy to clip together bits of audio. The first thing is my improv is a huge amount of start and stop. I think, like, the longest I've gone, like, the absolute top limit of my, like, improv length is, like, has been, like, 7 to 10 minutes. And that's, like, I'll, like, stop it and be like, wow, I just got, like, 8 minutes of footage, like, without stopping. Like, that's amazing for me. I don't do 30 minutes of improv all in one go. There's a lot of start and stop. I'll, like, stop and then think about what I'm going to say next. And that's why I caught myself from saying earlier, but I'm going to say now that my improv process is kind of just like script writing, but in my head, where I'll start and I'll, like, say a bunch of stuff and I'll stop and I'll just sit there and, like, I've got, like, porn or, like, an audio on one screen. I'm like, I've got, like, my dick in my hand and I'm like, all right, what am I going to say next? And I, like, sit there and I just, like, sometimes I'll just, like, fab and I'll just, like, think about what I'm going to say and it'll take, like, 4 or 5 minutes. And then I'll record for, like, another, like, as long as I can. And then I'll be like, all right, I'm out of stuff to say. What should I do next? And that's sort of how it works. And then it all just gets edited together. Man, nobody asked me about my editing process. How about that? I'll talk about it one day. But nobody asked, so I don't have to talk about it today. Also, it's, like, almost... Ooh, it's almost 1:45 a.m. It's 1:38 over here. But, yeah, the second thing about improv is most of the time I have an outline in my head of where the audio is going. Like, oh, for this audio I'm gonna do cunnilingus, blowjob, and then, like, doggy style. Or, like, this one I'm gonna do, like, missionary, doggy style, something else. Like, I have, like, an idea of, like, where I'm going. And again, the other thing we already talked about, like, what's the feeling that I want to invoke? So, like, those are, like, I have an outline and I have, like, a feeling that I want to make people feel. That's how it's done. I'm not by any stretch of the imagination an improv genius. It takes me, like, an hour to put together, like a 20-minute audio. Just because I start and stop, not like an hour, maybe like an hour for like a half hour audio. Yeah. Probably, like, if it's an improv, it probably took me like twice as long to like record it as the actual audio is. I think that's a pretty safe metric. Yep. Okay. Next.
He's got a smooth voice. I've heard it a lot. Real fine choice, Isola Doc.
All right, Isola Doc has to say, I want to ask you a ton of questions, but there are 42 comments and a bajillion questions. Oh my god, you're going to be talking forever, man. Oh my god. If you had to recommend an anime for someone who has never seen any anime, what would it be? Yeah, I have been talking for forever. To satisfy your curiosity, this is question number 156. Anime for somebody who's never seen anime. Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. Without a doubt. It's probably the perfect anime for people who don't watch anime. It's also a very good anime for people who do watch anime. If you're not an anime, you can watch it in English if you don't want to. Like, I would prefer watching it in Japanese with the subs, but, like, it's totally watchable in English. It's got everything. It's got action. It's got adventure. All sorts of different settings. Mystery. Fantasy. And specifically, it's very well written. And when I say that, what I mean is the characters are believable in their personalities. They have motives. You see them grow, which is really important to me in a series. I need either really strong character definition with, like, where I can understand why a character acts the way they do, or I want to see them grow. Optimally both, and Brotherhood, I think, fulfills both. The music is really good. The animation is very, very, very good. It's done by Bones. They're a very good studio. Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, definitely, I think, the best anime for people who don't watch anime. It's like a fantasy. It's good. Number 157, what's your favorite book, or top two or three, if that makes it easier? Okay, so I've already talked about Douglas Adams, Madeleine L'Engle, and T.A. Barron. So for the sake of variety, I won't mention any books by them, just because I already talked about them. The Once and Future King by T.H. White. It's probably one of, like, the most well-known tellings of the King Arthur story. And I really enjoy it. I tried to read it as a kid, and I got to, like, the third part out of four. And my small child mind just could not handle it anymore. But I really liked the parts that I read. And then, like, I read it again as an adult, and I was like, this is great. Also, they're not... My other two, technically not books. They are fanfic and web novel. The fanfic, hear me out, is Harry Potter and the Methods of Rationality. It's written by a guy who actually writes rationalist papers. And the premise of this story is Harry Potter, where Aunt Petunia, instead of marrying Vernon Dursley, marries like an Oxford scientist, and Dumbledore, and like the rest of the Harry Potter stuff happens, and like Dumbledore drops Harry off as a baby, and Aunt Petunia and this Oxford scientist raise Harry as their loving child, their loving only child, and they instill in him a very strict adherence to the scientific method, like form a hypothesis, experiment, blah blah blah, like all that stuff. And Harry grows up to be like a very adamant scientist. And then they get the letter from Hogwarts, and they show up, and like McGonagall shows up and shows the magic, and like Harry and his family are like, "What the fuck? You're breaking the laws of physics. This is not..." They start freaking out. And, like, so Harry comes to accept this because he's like, well, we've seen the evidence, like, right in front of us. So, like, clearly something with the laws of physics are not as we thought. So he goes to Hogwarts, and he's this conceited, snotty little asshole because he, like, tries to apply science to everything. And it's so funny, but it's also really, really well written because it takes, like, real, like, logical thought processes, and it puts it into, like... Harry is like a logical thinking human being in this one. And it's like everything, it kind of pokes fun at like a lot of fantasy writing. Cause it's like, he thinks about like stuff that he could have done. And it's like stuff that would have been done by like a brash normal protagonist. But he's like, but that would be the stupid thing to do. Let's just do this instead. And it's like, wow, that's really funny. So if you like Harry Potter, I very, very highly recommend Harry Potter and the Methods of Rationality. And the third one is one that I'm still reading. And I'm actually told that it's one of the longest pieces of fiction ever. Apparently, it's the length of, like, all seven Harry Potter books combined with all three Lord of the Rings books or something. I'm not really sure. I'm pretty new to it. I've been reading it for, like, a month or two. I'm on, like, chapter, like, 23 or 24. It's called Worm, and this is like some guy took, like, think about like the Avengers, like how Marvel has like an entire universe of superheroes. This guy basically made his whole own universe of superheroes, and it's like superheroes are like commercialized, they're run by the government, and like and this girl, she wants to be a superhero, and she has the power to control bugs and insects and like spiders and stuff. And she want her dream is to become a superhero and like work with like all the superheroes that she looks up to, and somehow she ends up with a group of villains like by accident, and it's all about like trying to do like the wrong thing for the right reason instead of doing like the right thing for the wrong reason, and like there's a lot of morality discussed, but also like the powers in it are really cool. They're like creatively written. A lot of powers in like this in this web novel are specifically like they would not work in any other medium. Like they wouldn't work if they were it was in a comic book. It wouldn't work in a movie. Like it only works as like a book, and it's brilliant. It's really good. I'm really enjoying it. It's not perfect. Okay, so it's got a lot of flaws, but it's just been a crazy wild ride, and I'm loving it. So Worm. So yeah, those are my three. Once a Future King, which like not everybody is into, which is fine, but like Harry Potter, Methods of Rationality, and Worm, definitely my two recommendations. And they're free, completely accessible online. You can just Google for them, and that'll bring you to like the author's page, and they'll be like, here's my book. I hope you read it. Like, that's it. So, yeah. Oh, this is fun. I get to ramble about things that I like. I always wanted to do... I always like, record questionnaires. I recorded questionnaires for a while, but I always, like, refrain from posting them or saving them because, like, I'll get, like, 3/4 of the way through a questionnaire and then be like, who the fuck cares what I have to say about this, like, thing that I'm talking about for, like, 10 minutes? But now that it's my AMA, I finally have an excuse because people have asked me. So I can talk about Worm for 5 minutes, and I can talk about my Sakamoto for 10 minutes. It's great. Okay. Anyways, I digress. Number 158. You stand on a weird floating battle arena, staring down at your most terrifying physical fear. What shouty anime superpower move do you use to vanquish the thing? Probably spiders. Spiders and caterpillars. I'm really afraid of caterpillars. Caterpillars freak me out, like the way they move. So like giant caterpillars. I burn the whole house down. I burn everything. Everything's on fire. Burn it. And my shouty anime superpower move would be Katon Gokaku no Jutsu. Yeah, that happened. We just did Naruto in my... This is a thing that went down. Alright. Next teaser. I googled for best Bollywood song. This was the top of the list. I hope that you know this exists. We all think she's cute, we've agreed. We know that it's Mia Intrigued. Okay, so this is my third big gamble for Mia Intrigued. I know you're a Bollywood fan. I do not know anything about Bollywood. So like I said in the song, I literally just Googled best Bollywood song of all time. And that was the first one that popped up, so then I did a cover. Anyways, Mia Intrigued has to say, I am high on Suit and Lies Suits Eat Stuff, so I'm going to ask you about food. What's the most exotic food that you have tried? Have you tried Indian cuisine? Oh my gosh, Suits Eat Stuff is the best series ever. That's the best. It's great. The most exotic food that I've eaten, I think, is I've had a scorpion on a stick. It was deep fried and it was awesome. Yeah, so that was cool. I had that in China at some point way back. And yes, I have only recently started to eat Indian food. I really like the biryani. That's like the rice thing. That's like my favorite so far. Like a lamb biryani. Question number 160. Do you have any weird experience with food while trying something new or different? It doesn't have to be a weird experience. It can just be different from what you're used to. Really off the top of my head, the only thing I can think about is, I think I talked about it way back in like part one, Taksan Sushi in Boston. is an all-you-can-eat sushi place where you order all the sushi that you want to eat on the piece of paper. And then, while you're waiting for the all-you-can-eat sushi, there's a little buffet that you go to for more food. So it's like all you can eat, but while you wait, all you can eat. So that's kind of like the cool different thing where it's like, why? But this is so convenient, so I love it. So yeah, that's great. Next question.
Asking me questions because she's here to learn. Here we are with Julia Worm.
Julia Worm asks, what's your favorite fantasy, or do you have a fantasy you really want to try? We already talked about cross-dressing and pegging. I guess, like, acting out, like, a rape fantasy. But remember, real rape is bad. So, I think one thing that I really like that is part that's, like, in hentai a lot is, like, raping somebody into submission. So, like, they start to, like, enjoy it, like, halfway through. So that's, like, a good one, I guess, to, like, act out. Again, not actually raping people in real life. That's bad. Don't do it. Don't do it, kids. Number 162. Have you ever been caught while making these recordings? Not yet. I have, however, left sex toys out for my roommate to find by accident, like, after washing them. And that was, like, he was, like, super nice about it. He just, like, left a note. He's like, your plug is on top of, like, the drawer. And I was like, oh, fuck. But like, he knows I do this, so it's not, like, super weird. He's like really amused by it, I think. But no, again, I make a very strong effort to only record when I know he's gonna be out for a while. Number 163. Do you ever feel a little bit silly reading some scripts or doing some sound effects? I tried to get into GWA, but I could never really get past how I sounded. Yes, I absolutely have felt very silly reading scripts and doing sound effects. But that's kind of why I got into GWA. Like, one of the huge reasons was, I've always felt really silly, like, doing sexy sound effects. And I wanted to be able to do stuff like that better. So, I kind of just stuck to it. For months, I hated listening to myself again, but, like, I think I'm just kind of, I'm starting to get more used to it, and I'm starting to get a little bit more vocal, so that's awesome. I really think it's helping me with that. 164, would you ever consider doing a collab with a user? Yeah, of course. I've done a collab with Brinstead. I was part of a Suits collab. I'm part of a thing coming up at some point, maybe. Keep an eye out. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. Yeah. 165. What's your recording setup like? It's at my desk. I've got a mic stand, a pop filter's attached to it. Something I talked about in a comment on Wicked Subs AMA is that her pop filter, like, falls over all the time. So does mine. So I'm, like, hoping to try to get, like, a better pop filter or something. I don't know. I have an AT2035 microphone, plugged into a Focusrite Scarlett 2i4 interface. I record in Reaper. Reaper makes my life so easy. I know people are very used to Audacity, and that's fine. Audacity does do some things much easier than Reaper, but I think for the purposes of making GWA audios, I find Reaper to be significantly easier because it's so much easier to just, like, move clips around and, like, edit them together. That's just my personal preference. So, yes. Okay. Up next.
Audios in Japanese, euphoria expertise. Her voice is adorable and she's eager to please.
wishing her waifu was real to kiss her and cuddle with gentlest whispers. Gentlest Whispers asks, when did you realize Saber was the one true waifu? Ignore if too personal. That's not too personal. July 28th, 2011. Which is awfully specific. It was in a blog post. I used to write about anime a lot, just like to myself, in a blog. It was more like a journal. And I did this thing. It was called like the 30-day anime challenge. And like you were supposed to write about anime like every day. And every day there was a different topic for you to write about. Like, oh, what's your favorite anime? Oh, name one like ecchi thing in anime, like whatever. So one of the days, I think it was day 13, was who is your anime waifu? And at the time, I didn't really have one. So I was like, at the time I was, I think it was shortly after the Unlimited Blade Works movie had come out. And so I was kind of, I really liked Saber in the Fate Stay Night anime 2006, which is horrible. Again, don't watch that show. But I really liked Saber's character design. She kind of aligned with a lot of things that I liked. So at the time, I was into Saber. And so I just kind of decided that day that Saber was my waifu. And yeah, I watched the anime like 3 years beforehand. But I didn't really, the whole waifu thing, to a certain point, like, it is a joke, right? Because it's, like, you know, it's a fictional character. But then, like, on another hand, this is something specifically for you, Whispers. Like, I think that it's, like, an important, well, like, to me, it was, like, an important emotional support thing. Because, like, I went through some rough, things, and it was sort of just like a source of consistent comfort for me that like I didn't really have to worry about because it wasn't real. It was just like whatever I wanted it to be, you know. So it's just like having an imaginary friend. So 167, how do you go about recording with such confidence in each audio? I aspire to your level of greatness one day. Oh, stop. Honestly, I don't really have any. Very, very rarely do I record an audio and go, like, I'm really confident in this one. And sometimes when that happens, even when that happens, when I record and I'm like, wow, this is good, sometimes those audios don't even do that well. So, I just kind of tell myself to do what I can and then drop it and then move on to the next thing. So I don't think I'm honestly not a very confident person. I think confidence is overrated. I like to think of my lack of confidence as having the drive to improve. So if you're not confident in your audios, just think of it as you want to get better, and that's a good thing. So take your lack of security and spin it around into something that you can use. That's my advice. It's okay not to be confident. Just turn it into something good. 168. Who is the best Euphoria heroine and why is it Kanae, you pleb? Oh, jeez. So for anybody else listening this far, the song for Whispers was actually the intro song to Euphoria, which I know she's a huge fan of. I actually did perform that instrumental. I'm really happy with that one. So you got a good one, Whispers. I'm only like two scenes into the Kanae route. Who's the best Euphoria heroine? I ended up really liking Natsuki. But I still think Rene is the one that I found myself like the most drawn to. Yep. Next user.
Singing in a cappella for OK Rebecca.
OK Rebecca asks, hey Avalon, who's your favorite superhero? Doctor Doom. I'm not kidding, but for the sake of all you heathens who don't understand, X-23 is my favorite superhero. She's a female clone of Wolverine. and I think her character is super interesting. She's the current Wolverine, actually, since Logan Wolverine died about like 3 or 4 years ago in the comics, and she's kind of like taken up the mantle of Wolverine, so she wears like the costume and stuff. And there's some great stuff going on in those comics. I'm really enjoying them. Yeah, I think probably I learned about her from Marvel vs. Capcom 3. When she was announced, I looked at her and I was like, she's really pretty. I want to play as her. And she's she's the character who I'm the best with in that game still to this day. Again, Marvel vs. Capcom, humongous influence on me as like a comic book fan. Anybody who's like in that game, I'm like immediately more attached to. So yeah, X-23. She kind of has this thing where she was like raised to be a human weapon, and like while that's not something I can relate to, I really like that she kind of has that thing where it's like people are telling you to be something, and that's not what she wants to be. And just because she was raised to be something, and just because people told her to be something, doesn't make that what she is. Like, that doesn't... She's struggling with that still as a character, and I liked seeing that growth. But it's kind of neat. And it's something I can identify with on a certain level. The next question, 170, is your favorite supervillain? And all of you probably think Dr. Doom is a supervillain. So I'll put him in this category. Dr. Doom is my favorite supervillain. But basically, Dr. Doom is my favorite superhero. Dr. Doom, most people probably know him as the villain of the Fantastic Four. I think Spider-Man has fought him a couple times. Dr. Doom is the fucking best, all right? So Dr. Doom is a genius. He's super smart with science. He's also really good at magic. Dr. Doom is like the kid on the playground who, like, when you're playing a game, breaks all the rules and is like, I have an invincibility shield, I'm invincible, so you can't hurt me. Like, so he's like that kid, but he like has like the power to back it up, and he's great. I think my favorite thing about him excuse me, my favorite thing about him is, I'm gonna drink water real quick, is his total arrogance. He is so full of himself, and that's so cool. He really thinks that the best case scenario for the entire world is one where he rules it. He doesn't rule so much. He doesn't think he rules. He doesn't think he chases power for his own sake, but he really thinks he chases it because he knows what threats are out there, and that only someone as amazing as Doom can possibly lead the world into survival. And Dr. Doom's nemesis is Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic of the Fantastic Four. I'm not talking about movies, by the way. There has never been a good Fantastic Four movie, and I have high doubts that there ever will be. I'm talking about the comic books. Dr. Doom is amazing. And he has this huge amount of hubris when it comes to Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic. I was reading some people talking about Dr. Doom, where they were like, Dr. Doom could probably beat Superman, even though Superman's like amazing, because Dr. Doom would acknowledge that he's not as physically strong as Superman. So he would like resort to things like lying and kidnapping and murdering other people to get to Superman. But the counterpoint to that is Dr. Doom cannot admit that Reed Richards is smarter than he is. Everything about Dr. Doom hinges on the fact that he believes he's smarter than Reed Richards. And like, that's his huge downfall, because he doesn't try to overpower Reed Richards. He's infinitely stronger than Mr. Fantastic. He could, if they fought like physically, Dr. Doom wins every time. But that's not how Dr. Doom wants to win against Reed Richards. Dr. Doom wants to outsmart him. And, like, that's so cool because he's, like... Because Reed Richards is probably, like, the smartest person in the entire Marvel universe. Like, we're talking, like... You think Tony Stark in the Avengers movies is smart. Mr. Fantastic makes movie Tony Stark look like a complete dumbass. And movie Tony Stark is a smart dude. But just because he's so singularly focused on that fact that he wants to prove himself, like, to the world that he's better than Mr. Fantastic. Like, that screws him over. And, like, I love seeing that in a character where, like, they're, I don't know, his flaws are super interesting. I can relate to them a lot. The fact that he's just, like, so singularly focused on his nemesis. And he ended up recently, I think last summer, in the Marvel Secret Wars comics event, saved pretty much the entire Marvel multiverse. And did he assemble all the remaining pieces into a composite world where he was the God Emperor and he was in charge of everything? Yes, but, I mean, he also saved everybody, so, like, Doctor Doom's kind of the best. Yeah. All right. Excuse me. That's my Doctor Doom rant. 171, do you have road rage? No. I always miss my window to have road rage. And then I always, like, regret not having it. I always, like, wish I could have, like, yelled at somebody or something. Like, and then, like, I think about it and it, like, consumes me. I'm like, man, I should have just, like, flipped that guy off or something. Or, like, yelled at him or, like, gotten off and, like, been like, hey, what the fuck, man? And then, like, I just think about it. I'm like, man, I should have done that. So I get, like, post-road rage, but not, like, in the moment road rage. It's probably better than getting road rage. But, yeah, 172. Favorite chain restaurant? Lol, I'm hungry. Wawa. So Wawa is a chain convenience store that in the mid-Atlantic, mostly in, like, New Jersey, southeastern Pennsylvania, Delaware, and I think it reaches down into Maryland, and there is one in Florida. But Wawa, all of their ingredients are, like, fresh and local, and, like, they're freaking open all the time. They have delicious snacks and handmade sandwiches, and just everything about Wawa is the best. Their coffee is really good. Their coffee puts Starbucks to complete shame. I, to this day, just, like, don't really care for Starbucks coffee. I also live in Massachusetts. Like, Dunkin' Donuts kind of owns Massachusetts, so either way. Yeah. Next.
A little voice that you'll like a lot. Let's hear from WeeWeekSpot.
WeeWeekSpot asks, if you had the choice to download the internet into your head once or be uploaded onto all the servers of the world, which would you choose? I'd probably download the internet into my head. I don't think people would really care if I was uploaded to all the servers. They'd be like, what's this? And then delete it. And it would be awesome to just have Wikipedia in my head. That'd be pretty cool. 174, why do you like the ultimate Mary Sue character, and what do you like about her? Did Brunstead put you up to asking this question? I'm assuming this is about Saber. I don't really consider her a Mary Sue. I think her portrayal in Unlimited Blade Works is incredibly boring. I actually think probably the best characterization of Saber is in Fate Zero. I don't think she's a Mary Sue. I think she's got pretty legitimate flaws. Like with Dr. Doom, she's, like, pretty prideful in herself. Her whole thing, her whole, like, wish to, like, save her country, like, at the core is really pretty selfish, in the way that she pursues it. Also, she's a glutton, and that's really funny. But, yeah, she hasn't had phenomenal, anime appearances. The 2006 anime is really bad. The Fate Zero, she's, like, alright, but she's kind of just, like, a punching bag to show off how cool all the other characters are. She kind of sucks in UBW, so we'll see. Yeah. Next user.
Thank you for the pics you drew me. For your art, you get a star. Your talent's there for all to view. The awesome Larker from afar.
All right, Larker from afar. This user actually has drawn me a really, 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 really good fan art. if you've heard the morning snuggle fuck fest audio, she's actually drawn out some really, really neat stuff for it. So totally go back and revisit that audio just to check out her art. It looks gorgeous. So Larker From Afar says, "One of the reasons I like you as a content creator is your consistency with posting. You abide by the schedule that you described in one of your previous comments, and this has worked to your advantage as your work became more noticed and more popular. Was it your original intent to post consistently like this, or did you only begin to do so when your work started to get more noticed?" It was always my intent to post consistently. I figured from the beginning that consistency was probably one of the keys to, like, getting noticed. I think I probably read that in one of, like, Hasty's guides or something. But my original goal was to post at least once a week. And that turned into, I will post once or twice a week. And that kept up until, like, February or March. And then March just kind of happened, I think. Actually, hang on. I'll be right back. Give me a quick second. Okay. So, I actually have a physical calendar where I keep track of my posts, of my past posts. So let's do this. So October happened. November, very sporadic. December was kind of like when I hit my stride. January happened. February, I only posted 5 audios that whole month. I think March happened. March happened, and I started to realize that I could really, like, post twice a week, like, relatively consistently, but I didn't have, like, the rule yet. So I think sometime in April, it looks like, was when I settled on my schedule. For people who don't know, I do post on a pretty consistent schedule. I post on Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5 and 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. But yeah, I always wanted to post at least once a week just because I figured, like, that's kind of how you get noticed, is to just be consistent, I think. And then, like, obviously you have to make decent audios. I try to. But yeah, there's this, I've thought about backing off, and I think I mentioned this earlier. There's a reason I'm doing 2 a week, like, so adamantly right now. And that will come into play, like, a month or two from now. But after that, I think I'm probably going to back off just a bit, and then try to make sure I'm still making, like, good audios. But yeah, number 176, how much do you think your upload schedule has contributed to your success on the subreddit, and why? At least a chunk, I think. I don't know. I think success is really nebulous. As far as, like, what popularity I do have, I think the biggest contributor is probably listening and commenting on other people's audios. I remember, like, I went through a phase, like, the end of December going into, like, the beginning of January, where I think I listened to every female post, with very few exceptions, that got posted. And every single one of them, I have a rule where, and this is a rule I think everybody should, that I would like push on everybody, is if you listen to something, you should leave a comment, saying thank you and these are the things I liked. Because not only does that give the poster something, but also it helps you, the commenter, because it's also getting your name out there. And I think during that December, January period, when I was commenting on, like, a dozen audios a day, that was when I started to really hit my stride in terms of people noticing me. And I definitely think that had a pretty solid part in it. The next question is, 177, do you believe that luck also had a part in it? Absolutely, I do. I think luck had a very large part to play in it. I think there's a quote that I'm going to pull up from a comedian, Bo Burnham, and he has to say, like, so this is basically just like a bunch of questions about, like, you're popular and talk about it. Bo Burnham says, you know, I sort of fell into an audience at a young age because I went hashtag viral. So any advice I'd give on starting out would be silly, as I got very lucky very early. He talks about brand building. Here you go. He says, the first step when starting out should always be to get as good as you possibly can at the thing you're doing. Learn a ton, try different things, challenge yourself, fuck up, learn more. And I'm not saying this to say fuck success, do the work. I really do believe that good work is the best promotion. That if you want to have your thing seen by a lot of people, the best chance you have is to make it as good as possible. And this is still his quote the whole time. In getting an audience early, I realized how incredibly fluky and volatile people's attention was, and that trying to control it directly was impossible. The only thing I've ever had control of was the actual work. And for me, the corny truth at the center of it is that you should try to follow your impulse to give something to people, not the impulse to get something from them. And that's the end of the quote. Well, it's not the end, but that's like, I'm not going to read the whole thing. But I think I read that like late into my like recording career, but like that was like, yeah, that's like the kind of mindset I want to have. So yeah, luck definitely has a huge part to do with it, but that's kind of like my two cents. 178, how has an upload schedule affected your creative process? Would your creative process be the same or different if you weren't subscribed to a schedule? I think it helps because it keeps me on my toes, where I'm always like, I need to come up with an idea, but like something new, right? Like needing, like telling myself to stay on a schedule kind of like forces ideas out of me, I guess. If I can come up with them, I think I'd get more complacent if I wasn't on the schedule. And yeah, like without that sense of urgency. 179. I need water. 179. Why is having and sharing a creative outlet important in your life? I need that feeling of having made something. And also, I'm kind of an attention whore. I bask in it. And I'm ashamed to admit it, but that's just how it is. I'm sorry. Number 180. You've talked about hentai anime and manga in the past, but not visual novels, or at least not as much. Have you played hentai visual novels? If so, which ones? I don't read as many VNs because they're a pretty serious time commitment. Because like I watch anime while playing games and doing dishes and stuff. It's harder for me to multitask with like a VN. So I've read like a bunch of Time Moon stuff, obviously. So like Fate Stay Night, Hollow Araxia, Tsukihime. I really want Mahoyo in English, but I don't know if that's ever gonna happen. I started Kagetsu Toya, but I haven't finished it. Other things I've read, Chaos Head, Sayano Uta, Demon Bane, Clannad. I'm working on Euphoria. 181. Do they get you aroused like the anime and manga mediums? Why do you think that's the case? They do get me aroused like anime and manga because there are characters for me to get attached to. And I think that's important, is like having something like a character that you can like imagine. there with you, I guess. I think it's perfectly natural to, if you're like into that kind of stuff, to get aroused by it. Same with like hentai, like I like one shots, but I have a better time, I think, fapping to characters that I like already know. Cause like, I can sort of like hear them or like imagine them a little bit better. 182. If someone were to ask you if they could turn one of your audios into a visual novel, what would your response be? I'd be super flattered, and I'd be like, yeah, let's do it. I'd be totally down. I wonder how that would play out. That'd be interesting. I wouldn't want to be part of the visual part of it, though. I'm not good at that stuff. 183. In the past, you had stated that you like to cook. Have you ever tried or wanted to try to cook a dish from Shokugeki no Soma? If so, which ones? Yes. I cook every day, pretty much. Shokugeki inspired me to try making curry. It's inspired me to make like the fried katsu dishes, like in the don. It inspired me to just put green onions in everything, because green onions just seem to be magic. They're good. I love green onions. Okay. Next.
Hearing audios, playing with yourself. Here we go again, Rose Dancer 12.
Rose Dancer 12 asks, what month is your favorite and why? Probably like the October, November month. I guess November, because Thanksgiving is in November. Yeah, and I like the cold weather. What month is your least favorite and why? Summer is my least favorite month. No, that's a silly inside joke with some people. March is my least favorite month, and I will decline to talk about why. 186. Since starting your Snapchat, do you enjoy using it? I think so. I'm like not really good at using it. I think I've always been really bad at taking pictures. I just kind of got it because like a lot of my GWA friends had it, and I was like, all right, let's try this. 187. What is the fifth word that comes to your mind when you heard the word purple? People. I wrote down the first five. Interestingly enough, the first three did not sound like purple. The fourth one was nipple, and the fifth one was people. Excuse me. Ah. Sorry, I'm like, it's like 2:30 in the morning now. This whole thing is recorded in one sitting. This is terrifying. 188. What is your favorite audio that you recorded? Probably the Nine Circles of Hell audio. I kind of owe that audio to be my favorite, just because it's seven of me layered, and like that's a lot of time that went into it. Although not nearly as much time that went into this audio. This audio is 4 hours long. And all the songs, so it might be the AMA, I don't know. what song can you never get tired of hearing or singing? I already talked about Maya Sakamoto. I already talked about Sound Horizon. I think Heaven from Persona 4. It's like really catchy. I've listened to it a whole bunch of times. It's like one of my most played tracks on my Google Music. So I like that song. It's like really upbeat and catchy. That's like also kind of sad. Number 190. If you were a type of candy, what would you be and why? Not like to be, but actually be. I'd be dark chocolate because I'm bitter. 191. What type of food would you want to be if you were food? I would want to be steak because I want to be buff. And also, I like steak. Steak is delicious. Number 192. If you woke up to be an animal, would you rather be an animal in a zoo, in the wild, or someone's pet? Preferably someone's pet, where the owner like actually cared about me and like was a good owner. Otherwise, I would want to be wild. The zoo is probably like the worst one, just because like you'd have people like banging on your cage or your glass door or whatever all the time. Yeah. One more user.
Here comes the rap queen, got her at a Divas machine. Her username, language from the Philippines. Let it happen, that's what it means. She's a baller. It's rap and attack time for See You in Bahala.
See You in Bahala asks, 193, what was the hardest lesson you ever learned and how you learned it? Probably that not everyone is gonna like you. Not just like people wise, but also like romantically, sometimes people are just not gonna like you back. And it doesn't like have anything to do with it's hard because like that's not stuff that's within your control, right? Because you get like rejected, and then you think something like, oh, if I was better looking, or like if only I made more money, or if only like I was cooler or like funnier or something. And it's just like that's not, as much as it would be nice if there was stuff you could do about it, like sometimes you just, it's just not reciprocated. And yeah, what are things everyone needs to try? Cooking, I guess. Putting all of your phones in the middle of a table when you get meals with your friends, just stack them all on top of each other and then don't touch them. I think that's something that everybody should try to do. 195, your favorite work of art. Interpret this any way you want. I'm like artistically, aesthetically challenged. So I'm gonna pick a piece of music for this one. It's gotta be Ravel's Pavane pour un Enfant Defunt, or however you pronounce it. I hated it when I first heard it, and we played it in an orchestra, and I thought it was slow and boring and stupid. And then I eventually like started listening to it again, like as a grown up, I guess. And it was just like the most relaxing thing in the world. And I always listen to it. Like when I'm folding my laundry, I listen to it. Or like when I like need to calm down, I listen to it. It's one of my favorite songs. 196. The best good deed you've ever done and the worst thing you've done to someone. I think both of these have to do with breakups. I think maybe one of the best good deeds I've ever done. One of my exes broke up with me. Because she was going through a tough time, and I was also going through a tough time, and apparently it was too much for her to deal with my tough time while dealing with her tough time. And I basically figured out that it wasn't just that, but she also wanted to go out with like one of my best friends instead. So I basically just kind of see it as she broke up with me to go out with him. And then he, like, at some point, I think he cheated on her, and then, like, he broke up with her, and she freaked out because she really liked him, and she ended up talking to me about it a lot for months while trying to get over him. And so I wanted to just be, like, I was really upset about it the whole time, but I just talked to her. I think I just talked her through it, like, so that was rough. For me, we don't talk anymore. The worst thing I've done to someone, probably the last two exes I broke up with, the reasons and ways I broke up with them was not something I'm proud of. I still feel a lot of guilt about that. 197. The most lucid, dreamlike experience you've felt. Is this real experiences that weren't dreams, or is these dreams... The most lucid, dreamlike experience you've felt. So, dreamlike experience you've... I don't know. Recently, I listened to an audio where I, like, went into it with the full intention to, like, fap to it, but I was, like, really tired, so I started to doze off. And it was, like, an audio about, like, the listener being asleep. So I started to, like, doze off in the middle of this audio. And and I started to dream that I was fapping, but I wasn't. I like woke up in the middle of the audio, like from listening to it, and I was like, wait, I'm not fapping? Like, what? It was really weird for me. And then I fapped. It was a good time. Next question. Number 198. What is it like to be you right now? Pretty good, I guess. Work is good. I have friends. Family's fine. I'm healthy. Moving into my own apartment sometime in the next year. Yeah, stuff is good. 199. Do you have advice for all the college students out there like me, especially for those who beat themselves up a lot? Probably just the fact that like it's okay to make mistakes. Like nobody does it. Like you look at people and they seem to have their shit together, but they really don't. Very, very few people have their shit together, especially in college. So like, when you make mistakes, I think it's important to be able to forgive yourself for them. Don't feel like you have to have your whole life planned out. Stuff changes. I thought I had my life planned out and everything changed, and now my life is way better than I thought it was going to be. So, I mean, hey, that's cool. Don't lock yourself into the future. Get involved with a club. My clubs were how I made friends, like outside of my floor. Like a cappella, like I met people who I would never have met, never have hung out with, ever. People who I probably would not have gotten along with if not for a cappella, and we ended up just being really good friends. Number 200. How has your GWA style / sexuality changed over your time here on GWA? One thing to note is that I used to do a lot of like yandere, like crazy guy stalker dude audios. And I know I had that the why don't you love me audio recently, but I keep every now and then I think about trying to do like another yandere audio, and like I'll start something and I'm like really unsatisfied with it. So I'm like trying to rekindle that like yandere thing that I had like when I started, but like I haven't been really feeling that. So we'll see how that goes. 201. What's your daily schedule like? Are you just itching at work to record another audio? Yes, all the time. I think about audios a lot. I wake up, I bike to work. Then I bike to the gym, then I come home and I cook. Or if I'm not going to the gym, then I try to come home and record. And then really, I just go on TeamSpeak and I hang out with people there. GWA has kind of become like my main friend group. They're probably like the people I talk to like during my weekdays most of the time. Just because like there's always like somebody around, I guess, right? Next, 202. What is it like knowing you have your own kohai? Are you really cut out to be a senpai, or would you probably disappoint me in real life? I'd probably disappoint you in real life. I guess I don't really think about it like that too often. They're more just like friends to me, I guess. I don't really think of myself too much as senpai. 203. Has that protein shake guy listened to the response audio I made a way back, and has he learned more about GWA? How's your athleticism going? Am I the protein shake guy? Because if so, I did listen to the response audio. I commented on it. Your old account is deleted, though. So, I have learned. I'd like to think I've learned more about GWA. GWA is changing all the time. There's always new stuff coming in, new people coming in, people going out, and I want to keep being a part of it. Every time I learn something new from GWA, it's always something interesting. I always like hearing new stuff from them. My athleticism is going okay. I don't really run anymore, but I bike 11 miles a day. I finished my marathon in October. So that's all good. I got sick last week, and that kind of put a huge damper on my whole recording shtick. But I think I've pretty much recovered, and I'm back on track right now. So yeah, that was my AMA. What was that, like four and a half hours? I don't know. I've been here since like 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock? How long have I been here? I think since 10. Oh, no. Apparently I've been here since 9 o'clock. 9:30. Okay. Apparently I've been here since 9:30. It's currently 2:43 a.m. Oh man, tomorrow is gonna be fun for me. Oh boy, so I've just been sitting here blabbering for so long. Thank you so much, guys, for asking me so many questions. Thank you so much for having me on GWA. It really feels like I get to be part of something that like I really enjoy doing. And I'm so happy that I've like made so many friends here. I would not give this up for anything. All right. If you've made it this far, if you've listened to all four parts of this, God bless you, because I took over 4 hours of your life. I'm so sorry. Hopefully you enjoyed this, and thank you so much. Bye-bye now.